We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we live in a world filled with sin, a world that is broken, in a world where our enemy, our adversary, the devil, prowls. Lord, may we trust that you are leading the fight for us, that you are enabling us, that you are giving us strength and confidence to fight against evil, against our own sinful nature. Lord, we put our trust fully in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So each week during the school year, as the preschool chaplain here at our preschool, I get to go into 9 classrooms and I get to just talk to them about Jesus. It's an absolute highlight of my week. I love it. So this past spring, I brought forth this First Peter text that we read this morning, and I centered specifically on the part about the devil being a roaring lion, prowling, looking for something to devour. So I realized with these kids, the kids often see the devil as kind of like a cartoon thing, something that's not real. I can't see the devil, so I know he's a bad guy, but I'm going to pretend that just maybe he doesn't exist. Put him out of sight, and hopefully he stays out of mind. Push him over in a corner somewhere, and hopefully he'll just stay over there, right? But we know, based on today's text, that the devil is real, and the devil does not sit idly by. So to make this connection, I brought a video to these kids. Kids are very visual. And so this is just part of that video that I brought to these kids. This video helped make it tangible for them. So as they're watching this, their faces change. Kids have terrible poker faces. They tell you exactly how they're feeling on their faces. So as they're watching this, their faces are slowly changing from silly to serious. The video helped them see that a prowling lion is not your friend. He's not after your well-being. In fact, he's after the very opposite. So I wanted to ramp it up just a little bit, make it a little more applicable. So I asked them this question. I said, what if I told you that somewhere in the preschool here on campus, there's a lion prowling around the hallways? Would you just go out into the hallway just as normal, casual, going to the playground? No. You would go up to that door and you'd kind of look to the left, you'd kind of look to the right, and you'd be like, all right, it's clear. And you'd be real quiet. And you wouldn't do anything to bring that lion to you, to bring his attention to you. And if your friend was walking out there, you would be very careful with your friend. You'd say, no, come back. There's a prowling lion out there. It's going to hurt you. You'd look to protect yourself and your friend. That illustration would stick with the kids. That got their attention and made it a bit more real when they thought about this prowling devil. Now, don't worry, I followed up this, there's a lion loose in the preschool story, with a whole lot of Jesus story to kind of give them some calm going back into the hallways. Did they have nightmares that night? I hope not. But I like Peter's imagery here. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking something to devour. Everyone can understand that. You don't have to actually be in the physical presence of a lion in person to understand that this is a dangerous situation. He's not your friend. As much as we would like to ignore the devil, as much as we would like to put him somewhere else, it's not the reality. He's not an imaginary cartoon character. He's not make-believe. And he's not inactive or disinterested in your life. No, the devil is real, and he is wickedly active in my life in yours. He's doing everything he can every day to draw us into sin, into darkness, and away from Jesus. If he weren't, why did Peter use words like be sober-minded, be watchful? Why did he relate the devil to a lion looking for something to kill if the devil is not a threat? But here's the truth about the devil. As much as he is our wicked enemy, our adversary, the devil must bow and submit to the reign of Jesus. Now, when I come across someone who says it better than I can, I like to quote them. I like to use their words. So I'm going to point to Luther here in the description of the devil. He said this: the devil baits and badgers us on all sides. His purpose is to make us hate both the word and the works of God, to tear us away from faith, hope, love, to draw us into unbelief, false security, and stubbornness, to drive us into despair, denial of God, and countless other terrible sins. They're traps and nets, real flaming darts that are venomously shot at our hearts by the devil. Now, when you put it that way, the devil doesn't seem inactive or disconnected from us, does he? He doesn't seem trivial. The way Luther put it, the way he worded it, the devil's a wicked, vicious enemy. He's not about preserving life. He's about destroying life. So when we think about this reality, it begs the question, where are we giving the devil easy entry into our lives? Where have we grown lazy to his presence? Where are we making it easy for the devil to get a foothold and to pull us away from Jesus? When there's unresolved disputes between us and another, the devil finds easy entry. When wounds from past sins are unrepented and unforgiven, the devil lurks. Where stress and fatigue are given full rein, the devil invades. Where our hearts or minds are exposed to sinful, damaging content, the devil finds a playground. Where prayer is absent from our daily lives, the devil makes his move. Where the Bible just remains a dusty bookshelf item in our homes, the devil capitalizes. God gives us free will. We get to choose how we live. We get to choose how we spend our time, what we expose our minds to. We get to choose the words we speak, the actions that we take. Free will is a gift. But because of our sinful nature, it's also an incredible target for the devil. The devil doesn't make us do anything, but he certainly tempts us to do things. When we choose to be prideful, selfish, and hateful, the devil rejoices. When we choose to be lazy, disobedient to God's commands, the devil celebrates. And you better believe the devil loves nothing more than to bring down a believer, a disciple of Jesus. He's not so much concerned with the non-believer, they're already on his team. No, he's going after the believer, you and me. He wants nothing more than to drag us back into darkness and disbelief. But remember, the devil too must submit and bow to the reign of our Lord Jesus. And God knows exactly what the devil's doing every day. And he's given us means to fight back. The Holy Spirit dwells within us through the gift of baptism. He gives us these means to fight back. He gives us prayer. He gives us his word. And he gives us the Christian family that we dwell amongst. Oh, how the devil hates when we pray. Because he knows the harm and destruction it brings into his existence. Because when we're praying, that's when we're recognizing that God exists, that God cares, that God is in control, and that God is actually capable of doing something good in our lives. In prayer, we humble ourselves. We turn away from sin. We turn away from the devil. We center our hearts and minds on God. When you go to pray, it's you and God. But have you ever noticed how the devil still likes to stick his nose in that moment and take his shot? Think about when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. Do you ever hear in the back of your mind this voice that says, hold on, you're way too busy to pray. Think about all the tasks you have to complete. Think about all your responsibilities. Don't waste valuable time praying. Do you ever hear that voice? We should never be so consumed with tasks and responsibilities of our daily lives that we can't stop and speak to the very Creator that keeps breath going through our lungs. We need prayer. Prayer's healing. Prayer recenters us. Prayer is necessary for fighting against the devil. Prayer connects us to the very Lord Jesus, the one that the devil has to bow and submit to. The devil also hates it when we're in his word. He hates it when we open the Bible. I'm going to go back to Luther again, and here's what he said. Nothing is so powerfully effective against the devil as to occupy yourselves with God's word, to speak about it, to meditate on it. Without a doubt, you will offer up no more powerful weapon against the devil to occupy yourself with God's word and to speak, sing, or think about it. This is what drives away the devil and puts him to flight. For he cannot bear to hear God's word. It is the power of God that burns the devil's house down and gives us immeasurable strength, comfort, and help. Ooh, I like that. It's the power of God that burns the devil's house down. I love that imagery right there. But why does God's word bring us comfort and the devil such grief? Because God's word points to our baptism. Beautiful event that just occurred this morning. God's word reminds us that through our baptism, God has snatched us from the jaws of the devil and made us his own. God's word points to our baptism and reminds us that we're forgiven. God's word points to our baptism and reminds us that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and fights and leads us through the attacks of the devil. It's God's word that reminds us that the devil bows and submits to Christ Jesus. Lastly, the devil hates it when we do stuff like this, when we gather here as a church family, when we're with one another. He hates that. When I was showing this video to these kids in a couple of the classes, I noticed as the video was going and the kid was getting the gravity of the matter, they kind of stuck a hand out and touched the arm of a child next to them. And then that little child took their hand and put it on top of that kid's hand. When they were feeling the gravity of that moment, that kid needed to be comforted, and the other child comforted them. It was an awesome illustration of what we're supposed to be as the Christian church. One of the key reasons God puts us in this community like this is because we need to be walking with each other. God has put you in a prime spot to care for the person two pews over. And that person two pews over is in a prime spot to care for you. This life is difficult. The devil doesn't take a day off. He never stops coming at us. We're stronger when we're walking together. We're stronger when we're engaged in each other's lives. And here it is again. When God puts us in this faith family, we get to remind each other, hey, the devil submits to the reign of our Lord Jesus. The devil bows down to our Lord Jesus. So Peter closes this section of his letter with some words of truth that I think we can draw confidence and encouragement from. He said this, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God be the power, the authority, the control, the reign forever and ever. Amen. Remember that God is God, the creator of all things. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is above all this mess. And he is constantly fighting on your behalf. Yeah, the devil's a daily problem. The devil's going to nag us until our last breath. Always trying to pull us into sin. But the devil is not stronger than our God. The devil does not reign over our God. The devil submits to him. Every day our Lord God fights on your behalf. So you can go forward. Go forward in confidence. Go forward in hope. Know that God loves you. God cares for you. God's leading the fight for you. And then you actively resist. Resist the devil. We can't just sit back and go, well, I hope it all goes well. We need to be actively resisting the devil, knowing that the Almighty God fights and leads us through it. And here's the best part about it. The devil's going to get his. His is coming. He may be a problem today, but when our Lord Jesus returns, the scriptures tell us the devil is going to get his. Revelation 20:10, and the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil is going to see his end. Between now and then, we cling to God. We cling to the Holy Spirit. We trust in the hope that there is a day coming where God is going to wipe away every tear, and sin and the devil will be no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue in this world of difficulty and challenge, in a world that is plagued by the devil, we ask for your strength and your hope, that your Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that we may listen, that we may follow, and that we may find hope and strength for the days ahead. Lord, keep our eyes fixed on you. Keep our eyes fixed on the things to come and the promises that you have made to us through our baptism. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.